Good morning. It is really great to see you. Thank you for being here. It is a wonderful blessing for us to get to be together. It's good to look out on this crowd and see so many on a day like this. We know we've got truckloads that are away from us that are traveling and taking advantage of a little break from school, but it is a great thing for us to be together today. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to continuing the study we've been doing over the last several weeks as we have been following the Apostle Paul through the book of Acts, been traveling with him as he travels to different places, and his missionary journeys, as they're recorded here in the book of Acts, are drawing to a close. This third missionary journey is coming to a close here as we look at chapters 21 and 22. Paul is finally going to make his way to Jerusalem after about 5 years worth of preaching and teaching and traveling. He's going to finally make his way to Jerusalem like he's been trying to do for quite a while. But what we've seen along the way, first journey, second journey, third journey, even as he gets to Jerusalem, what we've seen with Paul is that everywhere he goes, he finds both happiness and pain. He finds both people who embrace him as well as those who oppose him. He shares the message and some receive it positively and others receive it negatively, as he just says the same thing everywhere he goes. And so we're going to note here in today's study, in chapters 21 and 22, we're going to see a few of the times that people receive him negatively. They just quit listening. In the passage that Jesse read for us just a moment ago, you see that Paul was speaking, he was preaching, he was sharing a message, and they were embracing, they were open, they were listening, and then all of a sudden they just stopped. Shut the door, shut their ears, and they stopped listening to what he was saying. And so what we're going to look at today is several different times that people stopped listening. Most of the issues, as I understand it, the issues of when people stopped listening, it was because they were displaying some type of selfishness. Most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, communication breakdowns take place when somebody is being selfish. Whenever we have two parties that are both open, when two parties are seeking to be empathetic or sympathetic, or at the very, very least seeking to be interested in what the other person is saying, we've got two groups doing that. You're interested in what I'm going through. I'm interested in what you're going through. If we both have that heart, we both have that attitude, most of the time what results is good communication. But whenever that's only a one-way street, whenever somebody is, you know, got their heart wide open, just pouring themselves out, here's what's happening with me, here's what I need, and the other person says, wait a minute, none of this has to do anything with me. How's this help me? And they stop. Plug their ears, aren't listening anymore, and communication stops. Selfishness destroys good communication. And so what we're going to see here as we go through these things is these people are going to stop listening. And most of the time, when they stop listening, they're part of the reason why is in some type of way, some manner, some fashion, they exhibit selfishness. So what I want for you and for me to do today as we study this together, as we look through Acts 21 and Paul's coming to Jerusalem, we see in Acts 22. When we're looking at these things, and this is something we try to do every single week we're together, but let me just say it so we're all on the same page. Let's reflect and let's evaluate and let's make sure that as we see these times where people display what has to be recognized as just ugly selfishness, let's make sure that doesn't describe us. And that if it does, if we can see ourselves in some of these pictures, that we say right now, right here, this minute, I want to be finished with that. I want to live more like Christ, and I want to live more for Christ and less for me. And so if you see yourself reflected, as I see myself reflected in several of these things, if you see yourself reflected in these images of selfishness, let's quit it. All right. So, first example of why some of these people stopped listening. I think some of them stopped listening because of selfish materialism. Eaten up with, consumed by, connected to, in love with their money and their things. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. We're going to get this first example from back here in Acts 19. This was back a couple of weeks ago. We studied this when Paul was in the city of Ephesus. All different kinds of things going on, but one of the things that stands out from when he was in Ephesus, remember he spent about 3 years there. He really got close, connected with these people, but one time there was something extremely unusual that took place, and so it's recorded here. Luke records it for us here in Acts 19. Start reading with me at verse 23. Acts 19, 23. About that time, there was no little disturbance concerning the way. The way, that's what the disciples of Jesus were called, the way. Jesus called himself the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's in John 14, verse 6. And so those who were following the path, seeking to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, they were known as the way. There was no little disturbance concerning the way. Those who were seeking to be like Jesus were making a difference to the people around them. They were being salt and light. They were influencing the people they dealt with. And it says in verse 24, a man named Demetrius, he was a silversmith. He made silver shrines of Artemis, the great patron goddess of the city of Ephesus. He made silver shrines of Artemis, and it said, these silver shrines brought no little business to the craftsmen. Now let that sink in. Making and selling these shrines make them lots of money. The next verse, verse 25. So these gathered, he gathered together the workmen in similar trades, others who made lots of money just like him from selling idols. He said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. Okay, so we know why they're gathered together. Their pocketbook has been affected by the preaching of the gospel. What they do is they sell little idols, they sell these gods for people to put on their mantles, to go home before, offer sacrifices to, kneel down before and pray to. And if Paul comes along and says, like he says in Acts 17, the Lord doesn't live in structures like that. We can't do something, can't bring something before God that would in any kind of way help him. He doesn't live in structures made by hands. He's the one that we serve. He says, verse 26, we see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there's danger, not only in this trade of ours, that may come to into disrepute. See, there's the danger. We don't want this trade. We don't want the way we make our vast amounts of money. We don't want that to be affected. He said, but also, there's also the possibility here that the temple of the great goddess of Artemis might be counted as nothing, and that she might be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the whole world worship. And so then note this in verse 28. And when they heard this, they were enraged, and they were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So according to verse 28, they could no longer be reasoned with. They were now enraged, and they began crying out. It says in verse 29, the whole city was sent into confusion. You keep going down, look at verse 32. Verse 32 says that some cried out one thing and some another. The whole assembly was in confusion. Most of them didn't even know why they had come together. They're just saying all types of things. They're talking over each other. They're shouting over each other. Nobody knows what the other one's saying. Many don't even know why they're there. They just know they're upset. And then in verse 34, we see that one man is put forward. And the idea seems to be that this one man is put forward to sort of try and calm people down. But as he tries to speak what is surely words of reason, they just shout him down. They drown him out. They can't be reasoned with. They stopped listening. Now, before we, you know, get on our high horse and say, you know, these people were just savages, just ridiculous. How could anybody ever act in such a way? We need to make sure we recognize that we often act this way when it comes to our finances and our money. Someone says they're going to any way, shape, form, or fashion dip into our pocketbook. A lot of us just lose our minds. We hear a lot in politics right now. It's a ramping up to big elections and things like that. And typically over the years, looking back over the way that men and women have been over the last several years, some say, look, all I want to hear from any kind of politician is how you're going to help me be more secure financially. That's all I want to hear. Or you might say, oh, you're going to raise taxes? Well, then it's over. We're done here. I don't need to hear anymore, right? I'm done listening. I mean, there's all different ways that we could look at this, but the point that I'm seeking to make is this. A lot of times, you and I, we lose our minds when it comes to finances, when it comes to how much I have and how much others have. We just stop listening. If you're going to have more than me, I don't want to know any more about it. I don't want to know the backstory. I just know you've got more and I'm mad. It'd be good to remember here what the Lord desires. It'd be good to remember here what the Lord demands. It'd be good to remember here the way the Lord asks of you and me to view money. Now, we read from this passage last week, but let's look at it one more time. Let's emphasize again from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, I want to read several verses with you. 1 Timothy 6, let's begin at verse 6. So 1 Timothy 6, 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What's the good life? What's the righteous life? What's the abundant life? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's through this craving, it's the craving to have more, it's the craving to have just one more dollar, one more thing, this insatiable desire to have more. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains. And then drop down to verse 17. So the Lord warns, being consumed with, being in love with money is so dangerous. And he says, so in other words, here's what you should do with it. It's not wrong to have it. Don't fall into that misunderstanding. It's not wrong to have a few bucks. It's wrong to be in love with those bucks. It's wrong to be consumed with that money. Here's the view you should take, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, notice what he says. He doesn't say, as for the rich in this present age, they're all condemned. As for the rich in the present age, he says, here's what you tell them. Charge them not to be haughty, so don't lord it over others that they have, that you have something they don't. Don't be prideful of what you have. Don't make others feel less. Nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. So don't pin all your hopes, desires, dreams, and comfort on the money, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And so here's what those who have a few bucks are to do. Do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. The choices are these. Follow the way of Jesus, the one that shows us about sacrificial love, or follow the way of the world, which teaches us to just indulge every whim and every desire. The world actually teaches contradictory ideas. Have you stopped to think about it in this way? The world teaches us competing ideas. The world, on the one hand, says, hoard. Get as much as you can, hold on to as much as you can, and don't let anybody else have it. You just grab as much as you can. But the world also teaches this. Spend. You need to spend on more and more and more. You need the latest things. You'll never be happy until you have the next thing. You'll never be happy until you have what your neighbor has. In fact, you'll never be happy until you have more than what your neighbor has. Anytime that there's a philosophy that teaches contradictory ideas, you know that philosophy is false. And when the world says, on the one hand, hoard and get all you can, but also spend and spend and spend all you can, we know that's a false philosophy. It's ridiculous. The Lord Jesus teaches us to love sacrificially. Acts 20:35, we looked at just recently, the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. John 3:16 teaches this idea, love means giving. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, this is what it says, walk in love as Christ loved us. And because he loved us, look what he did. He loved us and gave himself up for us. And then Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, the divine expectation is that we'll be more concerned about people than we are things. The divine expectation is that we'd be more concerned about eternal security than financial security. Some stopped listening because they allowed money and the world to become more important to them than the Lord. I wonder for how many of us that remains the case. is that we stop listening. The line is drawn that we are turned off and closed off once. It's exposed that the things of this world, the money and the finances and the material, are more important than the Lord. Some stop listening when that happens. Next is the idea that some stop listening because of their selfish pride. Acts 22, look here with us, look at Acts 22, verse 21. This is the passage that was read in your hearing just a moment ago. But actually, before we get to verse 21, I want you to go back up to 22, verse 2. Because you're going to see they're going to start off listening very closely. They're going to start off giving Paul their undivided attention. Acts 22, verse 2. When they heard that he, that is Paul, was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. They focused in, they listened in as he was speaking to them in this language. Hey, this is one of ours. This is one of our guys here. This is someone who's with us. Let's listen to what he has to say. And they really are going to enjoy verses 3, 4, and 5. Because Paul says, look, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia. I was brought up in this city. I was brought up here in Jerusalem. I was educated here at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. They're eating that up. Yes, that's what we like to hear. But then in verse 6, things start to change. He tells them, you know, but then things changed. One day I was on my way to Damascus, and I actually ended up having a conversation with this Jesus, one who was put on a cross and put to death, but then walked out of a tomb 3 days later, the one who ascended to the right hand of the Father. I talked to this one. And they don't like hearing that. But the breaking point is there in verse 21. They continued to tolerate the things he was saying until verse 21, when he said the magic word. He said, Gentiles. You see verse 21, 22? He says, I was told by God himself to go to the Gentiles. And verse 22 says, up to this word, up till the time they heard that he was going to help and teach the Gentiles, up till then they listened. But when they heard that word Gentiles, then they raised their voices and they said, away with this man, we won't hear anymore. They wanted God all to themselves, it seems. They didn't want to share him. Certainly they didn't want to share him with the awful Gentiles. They liked this feeling of superiority. They liked the way they thought they had it all mapped out, the way that things should work. They didn't want to hear about the message going to the Gentiles. But here's one thing that this makes me pause and to think about. If Gentile was their buzzword, if Gentile was the word that made them stop listening because of their pride, I wonder what my buzzword is. I wonder what your buzzword is. What would it be that I would say today that would cause you to plug your ears and stop listening? What word might be spoken by someone at work tomorrow that would make you plug your ears and stop listening? And I don't mean for somebody to talk about something vile. I would hope that you would extricate yourself from something if someone started talking about wickedness and vile things. That's not what I mean. You know it's not what I mean. What would be the buzzword for you to just stop listening? What is it that's going on with us? What's in our background that makes us react this way? Ask ourselves, are we justified or are we just being immature in our position? Because I want you to see here that in Acts 22, Paul didn't do anything wrong. Paul was being kind and gracious and compassionate. From speaking to them in Hebrew and showing them the connection that they have together about being Jews that are concerned about the things of God, everything he was doing was connecting with them and being kind to them and patient with them. And then he just laid out the truth to them. God told me to take the message to the Gentiles. Paul didn't do anything that was subversive or wicked or mean-spirited. He just shared the truth, and they heard Gentiles and they shut down. The Lord expects us to be teachable. He expects us to be open to the idea that we don't know everything. He expects us to be growing and learning. The Lord also expects us to be excited about sharing the gospel with the world. He wants us to tell anyone and everyone about Jesus the Christ. To designate some group as unworthy of the message is about as anti-Christ as anyone can be. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 makes this clear. What we see here in Acts 22 is that some stopped listening because they were too selfish. They thought they were the only ones special enough to belong to God. And their pride, their selfish pride, kept them from hearing what they needed to hear and caused them to try and destroy a one that was sent from God. I want to ask myself and be honest about what my buzzword might be that causes me to stop listening when what I need to do is to continue being open. Their selfish pride caused them to stop. And then there's this, thirdly, the idea of just a selfish will. And what we mean by a selfish will is that we are only concerned or mostly concerned with what our will is, what our desire is, rather than what the will of God might be for us. In Acts 21, we see this taking place, that here's what's going to happen. If you go back all the way to Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, let me paraphrase Acts 20, 22 and 23. The Lord tells Paul, you are going to Jerusalem. You're going to Jerusalem. And when you get to Jerusalem, there's going to be a lot of pain there. There's going to be a lot of heartache there. And so Paul says, look, I don't know specifically what that heartache is going to look like. I don't know specifically how I'm going to be hurt. I just know that God tells me to go to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem there's going to be pain. So that's locked in and that's set, right? Are we all on the same page there? Acts 20, 22, and 23. Paul must go to Jerusalem, but there's going to be pain there. Well, then here's what starts happening as we move forward in Acts 21, verse 4. He says that he's gathered with some Christians, says, having sought out the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You know what they're told? There were several people that were told, Paul's going to be in great pain when he gets to Jerusalem. And so they love Paul. They don't want him to be in pain. And so they start pleading with him, look, don't go. Don't go there. You're going to get hurt there. Who knows what happens next? We know you're going to get hurt there. Drop down to 21, verse 11. 21, 11. This man named Agabus comes to the situation, comes to them, comes to Paul, took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and he said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. In other words, hey, Paul, this is what's waiting for you in Jerusalem. Verse 12, when we heard this, we and the people that were there, we urged him, we urged Paul, we pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? You're weeping and you're crying here is breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but I'm ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he could not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. You see, that looks pretty clear to me that the will of the Lord was made plain. They knew the will of the Lord was for him to go to Jerusalem. And yet, because they knew he was going to be hurt when he got there, they still begged him not to go. It's almost as if they said, now they didn't come out and say it this way, but here's what the implication is. We don't care what the Lord said. We know that when you get there, you're going to get hurt. And what's more important to us is that you don't get hurt. And Paul said, how dare you? You know how deeply I love you. You know how much I appreciate the fact that you love me, and it's breaking my heart to have to be torn in this way, but I'm going to do the will of God no matter what. When I'm told to go to Jerusalem and there's going to be pain, I go to Jerusalem. I do the will of the Lord no matter what. Why would you stand in opposition of that? And so it says they finally relented. When they saw they couldn't change Paul's mind about the will of God, they finally agreed and said, okay, may the will of God be done. I know they had good intentions. I know they had sincere hearts. I know they were being kind and compassionate and good to Paul. But they were opposing the will of God when they begged him to stay and not go to Jerusalem. Our prayer and our desire ought to be to know and to embrace the will of God. Jews from Asia saw that what they wanted to see. If you look in Acts 21, verse 9, they saw Paul who was in the temple, and earlier they'd seen Paul with a Gentile walking around the city. And so they said, you know what? We're going to put this kind of two and two together. We see him with a Gentile over here. He must have taken a Gentile into the temple, so we're going to swoop him up and we're going to hurt him. They'd never seen Paul with a Gentile in the temple. They saw what they wanted to see. They shared what they wanted to share. And you and I are often the same. Even though we clearly see the message of God, we clearly see the will of God, we allow what we want to see to become paramount. We allow what we want to happen become the overarching, imposing way that we're going to go. Sometimes we might just be ignorant of God's will, but other times we know God's will and we rebel against it, just like they did here in Acts 21. So for you and for me, we must pray, Father, help me not only to discern your will, but help me to embrace your will. I think that was a major part of what Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't you? In a place like Matthew 26, verse 39, when Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. This is what Jesus was saying. I understand your will. I see what the plan is. I'm asking for you to help me embrace it. I know what the plan is. The plan is pain. I know what the plan is. The plan is the cross. Help me to embrace it. Too often, this is where we fail. We continue to demand our own way instead of seeking and accepting the will of God. This is the way that often comes to the way we approach worship. I see what the scripture says, but I want this. This is often the way that we approach relationships like marriage. I see what the scriptures say, but I want this. It's often the way that we approach something like salvation. I see what scripture says, but I want this. Our selfish wills will cause us to stop listening. Some stopped listening because they simply put their own will and their own ideas above that of God. And this is where we conclude, talking about the importance of honestly listening to God. I want you to run real quick with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We won't take the time to read these things, but I want you to make note of it, because what I want you to see and let sink into your heart is that what God has always taught from the law of Moses to the last verses of the New Testament is that he's always taught this, what we might call a reciprocal nature of listening. In Deuteronomy 1, what's happening is this, is that Moses is talking to the people as they are about to go into the promised land. Now, they should have gone into the promised land some decades ago, right? They're led out of Egypt. God so powerfully delivers them from Pharaoh out of Egypt, and he brings them to the border of the promised land and tells them, go on in. And remember what they did? They sent the spies in. Whoa, those people are too big. They're too fortified. They're too scary. We can't do it. So the Lord says, okay, fine. This generation won't go in. And then they said, whoops, we're sorry. We've changed our mind now. Please let us go in. He said, no. And here's what Deuteronomy 1, 43 and 45 say. It says, in essence, let me summarize it for you. You didn't listen. You didn't listen when the Lord spoke. The Lord said, go in, you're well able to overcome. And you said, no, you didn't listen. And so now you know what the problem is? This is Deuteronomy 1, verse 45. Because you didn't listen to him, he won't listen to you now when you cry out. I'm not saying he can't hear you. God's infinite and perfect. He hears everything, but he says he won't listen here. Now that's a terrifying thought. He says, you didn't listen to me, I won't listen to you. That idea is repeated in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Getting ready to baptize somebody up here, Roger. Water just turned on. I don't know if that's about to be a flood coming up here or not, but sorry for being distracted. Riley, did you turn that water on? The Lord said, you didn't listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you. And that is a terrifying thought to me. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, we're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, he says, we are from God. The apostles with the authority of God who shared the message of God, listen to us as you listen to God. Here's the way that we want to draw this thing to an end. Ask yourself, am I listening? Because too many of us allow the world to drown out God's message. Too many of us stop listening when we don't hear what we want to hear. So many of them stop listening to Paul when the words were spoken that offended them. So please, let us be resolved to listen to God and follow Him where He leads. Because today He is calling you. He's calling you home. He's calling you to be submissive. He's calling you to be restored. Today, through the gospel message, He is calling on you, and He wants to know if you're listening. Don't let your foolish pride stop you from hearing what God has called you to do. And so if there's any way that we can help you this morning, we ask you, are you listening? And if there's any way that we can help you be restored, any way we can help you in your walk with Christ, won't you come while we stand and sing?